Well, hello, everybody. This is Danny Johnson, and I am calling you live from Belize, the southern tip of Belize, actually in Central America. And we have been down here just enjoying some beautiful, fun, and fantastic weather, from sun to thunderstorms, flooding to just amazing water sports. We have been truly blessed by our God to be able to come down and take a little bit of time out and enjoy ourselves down here in a beautiful place. If you've never been to Belize, I highly recommend it. Phenomenal food is in Belize. No question. Caribbean food here in Belize is actually rated the top 10 best places to eat in the world, which is part of the reason why we're here, because food is important. Anyway, my name is Danny Johnson, and prior to getting started in business for myself, I was a 19-year-old uneducated female who grew up in a home where my parents were drug addicts and my father was violently abusive, not only physically but verbally as well as many other ways. I did not believe that people like me were going to succeed in anything, and when I first heard about the industry, it took me a couple months to get the courage to actually sign the application. Once I did, I failed miserably the first 6 months and went $25,000 in debt in that failure, living off of my credit cards and not seeing any income come in. Heard about a training summer that was supposed to change it all for me that I could not afford, and it really wasn't the best timing. And I was told if I didn't go that I'd fail worse than I was already failing, and that just wasn't an option for me. Quitting wasn't an option for me. So I went with money I didn't have and time that I didn't want to come up with, and came out of that first training and made $4,000 the first 8 days. Went on to making $51,000 in a few months following that after really pouring into my education and developing my skill to becoming a business person in the marketplace. Went from there to go and get married and had the full-on fairy tale turn into a full-on nightmare where the man that I married drained my bank account, maxed out my credit cards, and left me with a $35,000 debt, $2.03 to my name, and totally destitute. My dreams were gone. I was fully depressed, feeling like I was always going to be a failure, that my family had been impoverished, and that's the way I was going to be, that I was never going to amount to anything, and that, hello, what kind of a loser winds up homeless, living in a car, showering in public places? And that's where I was December of 1990. So here we are just about 16 years ago that I was a complete homeless woman after making a tremendous amount of money and then just wound up losing it all. And shortly after that, I got really fed up with who I had become and started a business from the trunk of my car and a payphone booth, just totally stepped out in faith, trusting that my life was going to turn around, and thank God that he believes in second, third, fourth, fifth chances, because he was merciful and gave me another chance. And my first year from the trunk of my car in a payphone booth wound up making $250,000. By the end of my second year, I'd made my first million. This all happened by the time I was 23 years of age. Since then, I've met my husband through the industry, through being in business for myself. He actually was a part of one of my businesses. And we have now been married for many, many years and raising our 5 children that we've been able to raise more full-time than we work, more for me anyway. I've worked my businesses part-time for the last almost 11 years, learning how to manage my time to the point of being able to produce far more with little time. In fact, tonight, one of the tips I'm going to give you is actually going to be able to help you make more money with less time. It's actually going to teach you how to maximize the time that you're already putting in your business. But this particular technique works so well that you actually get to work less, and you're certainly not going to work hard, but this is about working smart. I've got 13 different areas you're going to use this one particular technique, and that's just 13 that I came up with right off the top of my head, 13 places that I've personally used this one particular technique that has absolutely accentuated and accelerated my business. And it can absolutely do the same for you, not only for a home-based business, but any of you that are in sales or marketing, any of you that have a job where you're in management, pretty much anything that you do. If you're an entrepreneur, you're going to be able to use this particular technique in everything you do, including raising a family. It is definitely going to help you become more profitable, but not have you spend more time doing it. It's going to make you more efficient with your time. So anyway, so I've gone on since then training and developing people in the marketplace. I used my business as a platform to raise up other people to the tune of 6 and 7 figures. We turned our training seminars over to the general market about almost 3 years ago. August is our 3-year anniversary of opening our trainings up to the general market. I used to only be in contract to train for my own company, and then retired 7 years ago and came out and just said, okay, well, let's go ahead and turn it over to the big beast and let anyone who wants to be a part of it come. Well, since then, we've now collected 70,000 customers, clients internationally. We have helped tens of thousands of people make more money with less time. We have helped tens of thousands of people get more control over their life and live it by design instead of default. We've helped thousands and thousands of people pay off millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of debt off completely. This is an exciting job it is that we have for sure, and we're excited to be able to have you on with us. And I believe that there is no accident, there's no such thing as a coincidence. The message you're going to hear tonight, especially the last part of this call, was designed specifically for you. There's somebody much bigger than you that cares about you, that has a desire for you to go out and do things far greater than you've ever done them before. And so one of the things I'm going to give you, actually 13 things I'm going to give you tonight, is going to help five different areas in your business. And then I've got a message for those of us that are United States of America citizens. We are on the eve of Independence Day. Two weeks ago, was in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where a lot of our history began. The Pilgrims actually set foot right there in Virginia Beach. You know what? The signing of Declaration of Independence, 1776, that happened. And here we are, a couple hundred years later, and my friends, the state in which we are in, I believe we all need a wake-up call, and I hope to shed some light on where it is that we all need to do, where we need to be, and what we need to embrace in order to get ourselves, our families, and the next generation moving forward. So here we go. I want to talk to you tonight about framing the prospect and framing your representatives that are in your business with the proper mindset for them to receive the blessing, I believe, that God has in store for them. You see, there's lots of people out there right now. In fact, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand people a week, actually probably like 500,000 or more people per week that are looking for a home-based business, because 175,000 people signed up last week in a home-based business. It's now Monday. So 175,000 people this week are going to sign up in a home-based business. That means that there are thousands and thousands more that are actually looking. I mean, even if our closing ratios were 10%, there's probably 1 million people a week that are looking for a home-based business. That's a lot of people. 400,000 people a month, more than 400,000 people a month. It is 400,000 people worldwide that are joining a home-based business. That's an amazing amount of people looking to change their financial future. There's even a tremendous amount of people that aren't necessarily looking, but when they get on a call, they go to a website, they hear the message that there is a chance for them to pay off debt, that there is a chance for them for part-time hours to be able to generate full-time income, that something pierces their ears and they say, you know what, I think I want to take a look at that. And so what I want to do is I want to equip you to be able to further that part of your business easier. Now, framing the prospects, framing your representatives is something that the marketplace has done for years and years and years. This is nothing new, and it's not rocket science. Certainly is proven, not on trial, has amazing results to the tune of billions of annual dollars in sales. And so the television does a great job of framing your mind. The media, the internet, has a great way of framing your mind. They actually direct you the way they want you to think. Well, how they direct you to think determines whether or not you join them on whatever it is that they are pitching to you. And so this actually will help to increase your closing ratios tremendously. Now, what do I mean by framing? Well, many of you have heard the term edification, and that simply is what it is. When you're framing a prospect and framing your representatives that are in your business, You do that through the process of edification. So many people don't do this, and I need you to understand something. Edification is not for the person that you're edifying's ego. It is for your paycheck. It's for the overall growth of your check, which means the overall growth of duplication in your business, which means the overall growth of the people that are in your business, their check. And so this is what I will tell you. A lot of people won't edify because they are full of pride and full of themselves, and they think that they are the head honcho of all of it, and who in the world can they edify? Well, I completely understand that, and the thing you got to do is weigh your ego with your bank account and figure out which one you want to weigh more. The only reason why you and I won't edify somebody else is because of an ego trip. That's it. That we say somehow, well, they're not better than me, so what is there to edify? you're missing the whole point exactly. The point is not who's better than who. The point is to frame the prospect or frame the current representatives that are in the business for how you want them and how you want to direct them. And so if you're not using this particular tool because there isn't anyone around you that's better than you to edify, you're missing the boat altogether. When you hear the 13 different places that you should edify, you'll see exactly what I'm saying. So, again, you got to weigh your ego with your bank account and figure out which one weighs more, because that will determine whether or not you really maximize the topic of edification. So let me give you a couple of examples. Actually, let me give you five separate points right here real quick. Number one, edification creates an environment that others want to work in. You see, when everybody is edifying one another, that now sets up a precedence, creates an environment, a climate, if you will, that others actually want to be a part of. Listen, I've been spending the last 10 days in Belize, and I can tell you that there's been part of this climate that when the sun is out, oh, man, it is scorching, sweaty, hot, sticky, a climate that is not all that comfortable for me. But then when I come into my room at the house that we are staying in, guess what? The climate is perfect because there's an air conditioner. Therefore, that is a climate that's a little bit more pleasurable when the sun is a little too hot, too intense. Are you with me? As well as an environment of thunderstorms. I mean, winds blowing ridiculously, things being knocked over. That's an environment, that's a climate, let's say, that is not the most comfortable for most people. But, again, we get to come into a more controlled environment, a controlled climate through the beautiful power of an air conditioner. Oh, there's no wind, there's no rain. There's things not blowing over. Nice, comfortable place. Well, that's what I'm saying to you. Framing the prospect and framing your reps through the process of the edification creates an environment that they want to work in. It creates an environment that when a prospect comes into an environment, let's say that you're doing a business presentation, and that prospect walks into a highly edified environment, then guess what? That's an environment that they're like, man, people are nice around here. There's like good company morale. They seem to get along really good. They speak highly of one another. That creates in their mind, dang, this looks like something I'd like to be a part of. Even before they ever even saw the business presentation, the overall environment seems positive and edified. And so everybody, and I mean everybody, wants to be a part of an environment that where there is edification present, where there is encouragement present, where there are people that are smiling, laughing, having a good time, and lifting one another up. That is a dream job. There are people that have jobs where that is the environment. They don't get paid squat, but just because it makes them feel good to be there, they'll stay there. Do you understand? So environment is everything, and really the environment can close a prospect even before the business presentation ever even gets started. The person's already decided, man, I feel good here, I feel comfortable here, this just overall has a good feeling of well-being just by being around these people, and they don't even know why. So why edify? Hello, it's going to build your check and everybody else's, and it creates an environment that others want to work in, which should, my friends, also increase your retention levels, meaning you'll have more people staying in your business if the environment is a business they want to be around. Number two, it gives others a reputation that they want to live up to. Now, here's a prime example. When you're bringing in a prospect, and let's say that you are in a live business presentation setting, if there's edification going on let's say that a brand new person invited Bob, and let's say the brand new person's name is Sue. So let's say that Bob is the prospect, Sue has just gotten started 3 or 4 days ago, and Sue winds up bringing this prospect, and what I'm going to say to Bob is, Bob, you know what, I just got to tell you something. We are very impressed with Sue. Our company is looking at her to doing some very exciting things. We believe that she is going to be very diligent and work with a spirit of excellence based on her track record with other things that she's done. We are very encouraged that she's a part of the organization, and we are encouraged that she's going to do some incredible things. So you're very blessed to have been brought in by Sue, and pay very close attention to that. In fact, let me introduce you to George. Now, first of all, he just heard me edify his friend, and he knows that his friend's going to now do it with or without him. Perfect way for a prospect to feel. Number two, gosh, geez, look at the way they're talking about her. I want someone to talk that way about me. That's how the prospect is feeling. Now I take him over to George, who's an associate in the company, and I say, George, man, can I introduce you to Bob? Sue, who's a brand-new associate in the company, has just gotten started, and we're really confident that she's going to do a great job with the company. She's very dedicated, already been diligent for the short period of time that she's already been with us. And she has brought in a friend here, Bob, to come and take a look at the company then. Now, George is fully equipped in the edification process. George is going to do his job, two things. He is going to fully edify Sue. Boy, Bob, you're quite blessed. Look at, I mean, Danny is speaking very highly of Sue already. They are very confident that she's going to do a great job. You know, how do you know Sue? Now George is going to form the prospect, who is Bob. How do you know Sue? What do you do for a living? How long have you been doing it? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? Right? He's going to make Bob feel very important, which is also edifying. He's also going to say, if George is doing his job right, oh, just to let you know, as you saw, Danny is the person that Sue is actually being trained by. And let me just go ahead and tell you about Danny. Danny's been with the company for quite some time, actually has shattered a few records since he's been with the company, has established an international reputation, in fact, been through lots of publications. In fact, every publication I've ever seen, I've seen her name in the top 10 multiple times. And so you're quite blessed. You make sure and take some really good notes tonight. I'm sure she's fully equipped to answer any questions that you may have. And, you know, Sue is really in good hands working with somebody like Danny. And Danny is obviously very committed to making sure that Sue gets herself established fully inside the industry and does a very good job. So, nice to meet you, Bob. And that's it. Okay, so it gives others a reputation that they want to live up to. So, for example, Sue's hearing people say this about her. She's like, yes, I'm going to do it. Gives her a reputation to live up to. George is hearing his friend Sue being edified. Man, I want to be talked to about that. Gives him a reputation that he wants to live up to. Are you with me? Again, all the way around, number one, it's happening. Creates an environment that others want to work in. Number three, it's encouraging to say and it's encouraging to hear. If you look at the scenario I just gave you, you're looking at Danny, George, Bob, and Sue. It's encouraging for Danny to speak that about Sue. It's encouraging for Sue to hear it. Let me tell you about life and death is in the power of the tongue. And when you're speaking that kind of life over people, it is seed on good ground that is eventually going to produce good fruit. That's the bottom line. And so when you encourage them, and it's not only that, but it's encouraging for you to say it. Now, when you speak life over somebody, you feel good. It brings life to you. Have you ever noticed that? When you encourage people, it makes you feel good inside and out. It raises your confidence level. When you're being encouraged by others, it does the same thing. Unless you've got some kind of twerky thing going on inside of you that you need some healing from, most people much more enjoy encouragement than they do silence. They much more enjoy encouragement instead of discouragement. No question. You're going to get more out of the prospect, more out of your new people, more out of your current people through encouragement than you will anything else. And so it's encouraging to hear and it's encouraging to say. Number four, it speaks life in your camp or in your tribe, in your business, whatever you want to call it. I call it my camp. And so it speaks life in the camp. Now, the bottom line is if everyone's feeling encouraged throughout the camp, and let's say that it's a conference call, it could be a pre-recorded message, a website, it could be a corporate president that you're building up, whatever. But, you know, whatever it is, whether it's live or it's through a phone call, when you bring life into the camp, life begets life. Silence begets silence. The bottom line is that people get excited when there is life present, when encouragement is present. Number five. It frames the prospect and the rest with proper outlook on the business and the proper outlook on others. It sets a precedence. It sets a precedence, and that precedence is that we edify one another. The precedence is that we bring life. You got problems? Lock them in your car. We don't need them here tonight. Do you understand? You got issues? You've had a bad day? Lock them in your car. Because right now, it's time to play the game. Right now, it's time to play our hearts out and give it our best shot. People, when they lock those problems in the car, they forget that they were even there. After they've been a part of that meeting, man, they feel better about themselves. They feel like there's hope in their future. They feel like that there's a possibility for a promise for something better, that tomorrow is a new day and they get to start all over again. So it frames the prospect as well as the reps that are in the business with the proper outlook on the business as well as the proper outlook on others. You're setting a precedent. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I certainly have. Have you ever noticed that some environments and some companies, they're just negative or they're political? I mean, there's a lot of backbiting, a lot of belittling, a lot of undergirding, a lot of, I don't know, just, you know what I'm saying, just a lot of politics, a lot of gossip. Have you ever noticed that? That's because that climate allows that. because they allow that to happen. That's because there's not been a higher standard set for that particular environment. But have you ever walked into an environment where people are happy to be there? Where people feel good about being there? Where people are happy to see you as a prospect who just walked in the door? Yes. Why? That took hard work and effort to be able to create that. That's a certain standard, a climate, an environment that has been created there where the other things are not allowed, where that negativity is just not allowed. What's better for the person? It's better for the person to work in that environment where things are edified, where people are feeling better, than it is to work in a negative, horrible environment. So let me go through the 13 different areas that you can add this process of edification. What I've already mentioned, and that is through the business presentation. Business presentation, a live one, I've already shown you exactly what to do there, so I'm going to skip right over that. Number two is a conference call. Let's say that you do live, interactive conference calls. So hugely important for edification to happen there. If you are on the phone with a prospect and you're about to bring them to or set them an appointment to listen to a live conference call, let's say the live conference call is in 3 or 4 hours, very important that you establish a high level of edification for whoever is doing that conference call. Creates urgency in the prospect. So, for example, if I was on the phone with a prospect and let's say I'm talking to Timothy, and we say, okay, Timothy, the next step is to go ahead and set you up an appointment with Mr. Mark Jones. Now, I just have to let you know that Mr. Jones is a very busy man, and so far you have been cleared for the first part of the interview. The next step is to go ahead and bring you to a live and interactive conference call. We're going to be able to get the information you requested on how you may be able to, and I repeat his needs, strengths, and goals, how you'll be able to, let's say he told me he wants to get out of debt, he wants to send his daughter to Harvard University, he wants to be able to afford that. So I would say to Timothy, so that you can get the information you requested on how you'll be able to pay off that debt as well as be able to pay for your daughter's university education at Harvard. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set you an appointment with Mark Jones. Mark Jones is actually going to be doing the live and interactive conference call. Now, Mr. Jones is an extremely busy man. He has actually been sought after by many individuals. He has actually established hundreds and hundreds of people in home-based businesses successfully. He is internationally recognized among the board of directors inside of our company. He's been in so many different publications, it'd be too many to list them. And he has gained this international reputation because he really does have a heart to seeing people succeed. He's very diligent. He's a man of integrity. And it's not that often that we actually get to be in the presence of somebody who has accomplished so much and who has this kind of a heart for other people. And so, Timothy, the reality is that I can go ahead and schedule you at 4 p.m., and you'll be able to hear live directly from Mr. Jones, who will be calling in and going ahead and giving you that information about how to get out of debt and how to be able to send your daughter to that Harvard University education, okay? So do you have a calendar handy? Okay, cool. You know what, Timothy, why don't you go ahead and mark us down for 3:55. I'm going to call you 5 minutes early. Get you prepped for the call, bring you in the call, and again, at that point, you're going to decide whether or not you really feel that this is a vehicle that's going to work for you to be able to get out of debt and pay for that university education for your daughter, okay? So I'll talk to you at 4 o'clock, and who knows, hopefully we might even be able to get you to personally meet Mr. Jones over the phone, okay? Talk to you soon, and that's how that would go. So I'm creating urgency in my prospect, and I'm also framing his mind to be open to the fact that he is going to be talking or hearing somebody that's extremely important. Okay, now, I may hate Mark Jones. I may just could not stand this guy. He might drive me stinking crazy. In fact, he might do a call that stinks. But guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the least bit. The only thing that matters is that I edify, because how I frame that prospect is how he will receive what is going on. If I say nothing, he's going to sit there thinking to himself, who is this guy? What am I doing? Oh, my gosh, did I turn the toaster off? I can't remember. Did I leave the oven on? Are you with me? This way, I am expressing importance of the person that is delivering the message. Therefore, my prospect has bigger ears to hear the message in which it's being delivered. Doesn't matter how that message is being delivered. Doesn't matter if I like the message being delivered. Doesn't matter if I can do the message better. It doesn't matter. That's all ego and bank account. Friends, so you got to weigh the two. It's not about you being the best. It truly is about you working a system that doesn't need you. Number three, pre-recorded calls. That's another place that you want to edify. Same exact way that I just demonstrated edifying Mark Jones. It's hypothetical situation of Mark Jones. I would do the same exact thing with a pre-recorded message. I wouldn't change a thing. I would say, at this time, the next step is to go ahead and bring you to a message where you can get the information you request in the same way, and I would build up the person that was delivering the message again. I don't have to like the message. I don't have to like the person. If I want my income to grow, I want this prospect to get the best possible chance of seeing the opportunity and moving forward, the best possible chance, sure thing, 100% slam dunk, is edification. Number four is a website. That's another place that you could use edification. Same exact way that you would edify a live meeting, a live conference call, pre-recorded message. Exactly the same way. You would, whoever it was that invested in developing that website, whoever the leader was that built the website, whether it was the company or whatever, you're going to build and edify the site as well as the person that did it. Number five, corporate presidents. You all should be absolutely edifying the executive staff inside of your corporations, no question. You absolutely need to make sure, and I know we're coming into corporate convention time right now. Some of you are coming into corporate convention time. They usually do it in the summer because whatever. Anyway, I got my thoughts on that. But anyhow, corporate presidents. So the corporate presidents, you want to make sure and edify those, the executive staff members, to your team. And you want to make sure that if you are going to be a part of a corporate event, that you say, oh, my gosh, we are going to do whatever we can to be able to get your picture taken with the corporate president. You know how blessed you are to be able to meet somebody that is so well-known, who has impacted so many people's lives, who has made an opportunity for everyday average people like ourselves to be able to go out and become above average. Do you understand? So you really want to edify who those people are. You want to create an awe, not an unhealthy idolatry kind of an awe, but a respect, okay, a respect that is due. Those corporate presidents have paid a price. It's unbelievable. They have taken all the risk. They deal with stuff that you could never imagine. Trust me, I ran my own network marketing company, a nutrition-based company for years. Ugh. You have no idea the price these people are paying. It's horrifying. Number six is you want to edify the corporation. Absolutely, clearly, you want to edify the corporation, which a lot of you know how to do, but you want to simply state the facts. State the facts about the story and what a blessing it is to be able to represent a company that stands on its own two feet, has a high ethical standard, high moral standards. Whatever it is that you can say about it that is edifying, say it. Number seven is you want to edify leaders as well as well-known representatives as well as record breakers. You want to edify those people. Leaders, now, here's where there's always a big conflict. Leaders usually will not edify other leaders. They just won't do it. For some reason, they feel like they're their bird at the top of their perch, and that's my territory. I don't know why people get that way, but they do. It's sad. It's pathetic. It's not right, and it's ego versus bank account. But leaders need to be edifying not only other leaders, but number eight, new reps and their guests. I'll show you how to do that in a second. But leaders. Leaders need to be edifying other leaders. You need to be edifying leaders. We need to edify those that are well-known, and we also need to edify those that are record breakers. This is important to do. You want to, again, that's giving other people a reputation that they want to live up to. People want to be in that leadership role eventually someday. They want to be well-known, and they want to be record breakers themselves. But if you make no big deal or it is just no thing when that person is a leader or when they're well-known or they are a record breaker, then guess what? There's nothing to strive for, nothing to work for. And so oftentimes I've walked into so many clients where people just refuse to edify anybody. And therefore, there is no fire in that organization to work towards anything. Listen, people can only be excited for so long about trying to pay off their debt. In fact, that's probably very demotivating. However, being known, being recognized, having an impact, oh, my gosh, that seems to drive people tremendously. Same usually drives people more than fortune. In fact, historically, that is the truth. People have done crazy things to get famous, and they're broke. Anyway, so leaders. So we want to edify those leaders. We know what to say about them. You know, you want to recognize. In fact, how I, you know, did edification for this hypothetical Mark Jones. Okay, so let's say Sally Sanders. You know, so, you know, I would here's a perfect, let me look at this. Nope, not going to do that one because it's number 13. So here we go, you know, so Sally Sanders. And so let's say that, Sally Sanders is a leader, and let's say that she's coming to do a cameo appearance on a conference call, or coming to do a guest presentation. You know, it's a out of town expert, so they call it. It's a special guest on a conference call. so important to edify who those people are. Man, I've been on calls and been in meetings where there's been zero edification, and oh my gosh, it is so hard to get the attention of the crowd, whether it's on a conference call or live in person. It's so difficult to do that. So important that how you edify determines how well they listen. And so let's say that Sally Sanders, the out-of-town expert, and you say, oh my gosh, we are so blessed. Tonight, Sally Sanders is coming in from out of town. This woman has an extremely busy schedule, extremely successful business, and we are just so completely blessed. I mean, look at the timing. I mean, if you weren't meant to be at this special appearance, you would have heard about it after it was taking place. But the fact is that here it is, it's taking place here and now, and we've got the opportunity to be able to sit right there in front, take lots of notes. You want to pay very close attention, because it's not that often that we get to have somebody come in like this of her expertise and stature and knowledge and wisdom and all that she's created. Oh my gosh, this is an amazing chance. You got it. You have a notepad? Make sure you're dressed perfect. I mean, okay, are you ready? You got to so pay very close attention, because I'm telling you, this is going to be amazing to hear from her. Boom. There you go. Edifying leaders. Well-known reps, same thing. You can have a well-known rep come in from out of town, and how they're well-known really is determined by whether or not you're going to edify. And then record breakers. Jeez, those are easy people to edify. And here's what's sad is that jealousy is the reason why some of you will not edify the record breakers. Jealousy and judgment is the reason why we won't recognize leaders, well-known reps, or record breakers. Full-on ego trips, that's the only reason why we won't. And the bottom line is, if you want your check to grow, you want to create a killer environment for your team, it ain't about how great they are or how better you are than them. The truth is, it is time to edify for everybody's sake, for everybody's growth, for everybody's check. Number 8, new reps and their guests. Very important. I just earlier, in the very beginning of the call, I demonstrated how to edify a new rep to their guests, where I had Sally and I had Bob. And I said to Bob, you know what? We are absolutely excited about Sally. We believe she's going to do a great job. And we are confident that with her diligence that she has shown in past professions that she's had, that she is fully capable of succeeding quite well with her company. And so you're quite blessed that you know her and that she brought you in tonight. And so welcome, okay? That's how you want to do it. Makes the reps feel awesome. Makes the guests feel like, whoa, she's going to do this with or without me. Number 9, you want to edify other associates to the guests. So this is what that would look like. In fact, let me go ahead and complete this. So here we've got Bob again, who is the guest. Sally is the one who brought the guest, and George is the guy who is another associate. So what I would say to Bob after I formed Bob, I say, Bob, hey, you know what? Oh, my gosh, there is George over there. George has been with the company for quite some time. He has done some pretty incredible things. He's very dedicated to the company, has established himself firmly in his reputation, and he is fully committed, and he's just an outstanding individual and is really working hard at establishing people successfully in home-based business. He's usually a very busy guy. I think I might be able to introduce you to him. Are you ready? Let's go over there. By the way, he's the guy actually doing part of the orientation tonight, and so pay very close attention to him. Take really good notes, because he really is an expert in his field. So let's go over here, and let me introduce you to George. Okay? So again, I'm going to edify other associates to the guest. I hopefully will get the chance to introduce that guest to 4 or 5 different associates, and I will edify all of those people. Number 10, you want to edify a prospect to another prospect. This is really fun. This is really, really fun. This is also very strategic. So it works something like this. Whenever a prospect to another prospect, so, for example, if I'm doing what I call on-the-job training, and let's say that I've got somebody who doesn't have the money, but I'm going to pre-launch their business, and I'm just going to get them involved because I just want to get their feet wet and I want to get to their contacts. So how that would look is that I'm on the phone, and I am talking, whoa, I numbered these wrong. I said 10, 12, and 13. How funny is that? It's more like 12, guys. How funny is that? It must have been a funny time on the beach. Anyway, so with the prospect to another prospect, this is what that would look like. I would say, okay, so let's take Mark and let's take Nancy. So let's say that Nancy has been, she didn't have the money. I've pre-launched her in her business. I'm going to get her on the phone, her listening to me doing some dials the very next day, so she's kind of getting acquainted with how the business is built. So the way that I do that is let's say that I call Mark, and Mark is a prospect. I get on the phone, and I say, hi, Mark, how's it going? This is Danny just calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you? And he says, oh, you know, I was just checking on the internet looking for, you know, a side business to do. Okay, great. Do you have a pen and paper handy? Yes, I do. Great. I just need to ask you a few questions to figure out what kind of information to direct you to. And he says, okay, fine. Hey, before we get started, I want to introduce you to Nancy. Nancy's a trainee just now getting started and established. She's out in Kentucky, and she's looking at establishing herself in a home-based business. She's just going to be listening along right now, and we're real confident that Nancy's going to do a great job. She has absolutely shown in her past experiences and her past profession to be a very diligent and committed woman. And so she's just going to be listening in the background. Nancy, go ahead and say hello to Mark. Hi, Mark. Hi, Nancy. So she's going to be taking notes. She's just kind of watching how the process works. So let's go ahead and continue. So are you currently working from home? And I would just go and continue through my script. So here I have edified a prospect to another prospect. Okay? This does a couple of different things. Number one, it gives instant credibility to myself that I must be a person that is qualified to train other people. Number two, it answers the question, who's going to train me? Because he's seeing that someone's getting one-on-one training right away. Okay, number 11 is that you want to also edify a prospect to other prospects as well as other reps while you're building leverage. And this is kind of what that picture looks like. If you were on the call with me last week, I talked to you about building leverage. It was the last call done at the end of the month. We got several emails of people using that call, making money. People that were having 0 out months, the last 4 days of the month, they created an amazing amount of volume and created a great check for themselves. It's so awesome when we get to see those kind of testimonials. But this is how you do that. So, but the, so what you're doing is you're building leverage, meaning that you have a prospect, and you, and let's say you work a business where you have to place that brand new person inside of another person's organization. So, again, if you're working a binary or a matrix, if you don't know what that is, no worries. Just ignore me. But if you're working a business or even a stair-step breakaway, which is very few of those anymore, but let's say that you're working that kind of a business where you have the ability to place a rep underneath another rep to be able to create extra volume. Well, in this case, what I do is I would call the rep about my brand-new prospect. And I would say something like this. Hey, listen, John, just to let you know, I've got Nancy out in Kentucky, and Nancy is absolutely, she's awesome. She sees the deal. She is ready to get started. She's already bootstrapping in it. She's going to be coming in with that top package, making her list, already getting scheduled for her on-the-job training, and she's looking at plugging into the Denver, Colorado First Steps to Success July 15th and 16th. So I'm going to be working close by this young woman because she is totally committed and ready to rock and roll this deal. However, I have to place her somewhere, and I'm not just going to stick her just anywhere. So the bottom line is John, is that I'm going to be calling Stephen and Sandy and Cheryl to also let them, just put them on notice, let them know that I'm going to have, that I've got Nancy, I've got to place her somewhere. So I'm really looking for a team of people that are going to be in Denver, Colorado with me July 15th and 16th. Because I'm looking at putting together an organization that is just ready to hit it hard through the summer. I'm looking for a team of people that want to make a lot of money July and August, because when September, October, November hits, it's going to be major harvest time, and I need a lot of help to be able to handle that kind of harvest. And so I'm not here to mess around with anything other than this. One is I'm looking for someone to get registered for July 15th and 16th, so they want to position themselves with the freshest strategy in the marketplace. They want to improve their skill, and they want to make a lot of money as quickly as they possibly can. But I'm also looking for whoever can bring me two people by noon tomorrow has the greatest shot at getting Nancy. So I got to go. I'm going to give those other few people a call, and I guess if I hear from you before noon tomorrow, I'll hear from you. And if Nancy hasn't been placed already, then I guess she might be yours. Talk to you soon. Goodbye. I'm on to the next person. So what I just did is I built up a prospect who's just gotten started to another rep. I edified my brand-new person to another rep so that rep will work for that new person. I know some of you are like, okay, can I have Nancy? Okay, here's another one. I will also edify a prospect to another prospect. So if, it's, so if I'm looking at building leverage again, and I'm going to build a project for the month where I'm going to establish something at the top of an organization, not an existing organization, but one that I'm building. And so the way that I would look is like this. So let's say that I still got Nancy. Let's say I got Mark. And I'm going to say to Nancy, hey, listen, I've got Mark, and Mark is absolutely, this guy has got some business experience. He is deadly serious about establishing himself in a home-based business. He is not messing around. And he's not one of those kind of guys that's just, you know, looking to spend money and hope to get rich. Now, this is someone that actually believes in diligence, believes in hard work, and he is looking at plugging into First Steps to Success July 15th and 16th because he wants to get himself, he wants a shortcut. He wants to save 6 months off his learning curve. He is the kind of guy that wants the shortcut. He wants to make more with less time. He doesn't want to mess around with making mistakes. And so he's getting himself registered for July 15th and 16th. Now, I am looking for a project for the month. I don't know who I'm going to put at the top of the organization, but it's all going to be based on results and commitment level, not by their mouth, by what they do. And so who of the two of you get yourself registered for First Steps first and brings me two people by noon tomorrow, one is on top of the other. It's just that simple. So just wanted to give you a heads up. I'm also calling him to let him know about you, okay? So to be honest with you, in my professional experience, it really behooves you to get yourself registered right now for Denver, Colorado, 15th and 16th of July. It's in a week and a half. Because you absolutely would want someone like Mark in your business. So, again, it's whoever hits it first is the one that's going to have the other on top of the other. Okay? Talk to you soon. Bye. There you go. So now I've taught you how to identify a prospect to another prospect. Okay, last, number 12. 12 is to edify the team, and that looks something like this. For example, I've used events to establish an environment for my organization for 17 years. That's how I built my business. That's the only way I know how to build my business, is I built through events. And the reason why is because it established a culture, a climate, an environment of champions instead of an environment, a culture, and a climate of whiners, murmurers, complainers, non-producers. When you have your team plugging in on a monthly basis into something that is powerful, it pulls power out of them, where they are producing powerfully. And so that's why I'm using this example. And so, for example, I would edify my team, and I would say to them, listen, here is who we are. Here is what we're going to do. And the bottom line is there will be a group of people that will do it. And so I would say something like this. Team, you are a breed above and a breed apart. You have that part in you that has a desire to succeed far beyond your wildest dreams. We are a team that will represent ourselves professionally. We are fully going to take advantage of all the leadership that's here this weekend at First Steps. We're going to meet who they are. We're going to interview who they are. We're going to listen. We're going to pay attention. On the breaks, we're going to be interviewing people. We're going to make sure that we're going to find all the people that are here, a part of our team, all the reps that are here with our team, and we're going to form all of those brand new people. We're going to form a core rapport with all those brand new people that are here. And we're going to make those brand new people feel welcome. They're going to feel important. We're going to show them who we truly are. We're going to show them that we care about them. We're also going to take those new people and we're going to introduce them to others. Because you are a team that is not here by accident. You are a team who wants to succeed. You are a team that desires to be professional because you want professional results. So this is how we're going to do it. So again, I've just edified the team and I've directed them on how we are going to act while we are at First Steps to Success. I tell them what we're going to do as a team. And the plays that we're going to play, that's what we do. I also will, let's say that if before we get to First Steps or before, you know, get to your convention or whatever it is that you're promoting, I believe that a business built without events is boring, number one. Number two, the retention is far less. Where there is no involvement, the retention is high, meaning the retention level, you got a high percentage of, you have a lot of people quitting, a lot of people giving up, a lot of people giving in. Events are hugely important. Okay, so anyway, you edify before we go. Hey, listen, we're gonna crash the event. We're gonna make a roar so loud that people are gonna go, oh my gosh, who are those people? Those people are so excited. Those people, wow, they're different. What's different about them? You're gonna give your team a reputation to live up to. Okay, so there you go. That, my friends, if you just use it in one area, one of the 12, you're gonna see a huge increase in your check. Now, it is the eve of July 4th. It's the eve of Independence Day. It is the eve of the day 200-some years ago that men risked their lives at the gallows for freedom. They risked everything they had for freedom. They sacrificed everything they had for freedom. And it was for freedom's sake. It was for their children's future. It wasn't so they could have big cars, big houses, and a lot of stuff. That is not why they were willing to risk their blood for independence. But it was for their children's future to be better than what they had experienced in their past. That they were willing to risk their throats with a noose tied around it. They were willing to risk their future so that their children could have a better life. The question I have for you is this. Are you making it worth the risk they took? You see, we have become a people of bondage. Bondage to excuses. I don't know how. I can't do it. I don't know if I have what it takes. What if it doesn't work? I tried those things before and it didn't work. What if I waste my money by going to First Steps? What if I go and I don't learn anything? Lies. Those things never work. Don't dream because, you know, you'll just get discouraged. Defeat. Yeah, defeat that somehow puts a remote control in your hands and your butt in a lazy boy chair. Discouragement, depression, a deteriorated culture who doesn't realize that their choices today of inactivity and laziness will have consequences of poverty tomorrow. They don't even realize that their choices of today to be mesmerized by the media instead of working diligently towards something that's built to last, that the consequences of tomorrow is their children following in their footsteps. Have you ever heard the story of the frog and a pot of water on top of a stove? Yeah. They don't even realize that they're being cooked and will die. We think we have it all together and we won't wind up like 98% of the population who's dead or dead broke at the age of 65. We somehow think as a culture that that won't be us. And we won't be like those people. The ones actually who think that they won't be are probably the ones that will wind up 98% of the population totally broke. Dead or dead broke by the age of 65. And the ones that are actually working diligently have the greatest chance of not winding up like 98%. Oh, you might be working diligently in a job, but you also might be spending just as diligently. You might be spending just as quickly as you're making in debt up to your ears. Is that what our founding forefathers risked their life for? Was the freedom to be in debt? Did they risk their life for the freedom for you to have the biggest house on the block? Or did they risk their lives that you might have a chance at freedom? Freedom emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, and financially. If you are postured for learning and applying what you learn, you have the greatest chance of succeeding. We live in a culture who cares more about money and growing our businesses and lives than we do about learning how to groom our kids for success. You see, there's a teleseminar taking place in about 3 weeks. And it's called Grooming the Next Generation for Success. And the title of that particular event was Prospecting and Closing. There'd be about 1,200 people signed up for that event right now. There would. But what's sad is it's about 10% of that is registered for that class. It was a rude awakening this morning when I heard about that. And I thought, am I the only one passionate about sowing into the next generation what our founding forefathers sowed into us? All the blood that's been shed, am I the only one? Am I the only one that's passionate about making sure that I've done my part to groom the next generation to succeed, not groom the next generation just to survive, not groom the next generation for mediocrity and apathy, not to groom the next generation for standing for nothing? No. Am I the only one? But I know this. We've ran other teleseminars in the past, 1,200 people, boom, overnight, sold out. Why? To learn how to get rich. It's a sad state that our country's in right now, my friends. We spend more time and money on things that puff ourselves up than we do on being equipped to equip the next generation that's in our own homes. Wow. God have mercy on this nation. And God have mercy on us that are in business. We as people spend more time in front of the television, in front of media sources, than we spend with our families. We spend more time on activities that are futile than on activities that are profitable. We spend more time in email than we do in prospecting. We live in a time and have become a people where we either think we have it all figured out or we don't think we can do anything about our current situation, that the problem is just too big and what difference can I make anyway? That's who we've become. That's not what our roots are. That's not what our heritage is. Many of your family members, many of your parents and your grandparents came over here on a boat for a chance for freedom, for a chance of opportunity. And what's been passed down generation to generation certainly is not that. Yeah, the freedom for opportunity has turned into freedom to be lazy or the freedom to chase a fantasy called lottery. All I know is that the great book says, he who chases fantasies has poverty waiting for him. Yeah, we've taken this chance for opportunity into a chance of every governmental handout that we could possibly find. Instead of rising up to create our own opportunity, to be those entrepreneurs that this country was founded on, do you know that your heritage is an entrepreneurial spirit, a risk-taking, history-making spirit? That is our bloodline. But instead, we've become full of pride or we're full of apathy. The problem's too big and what difference can I make or I've got it all figured out. You know what? Pride comes before a fall and apathy leads to death. Neither of those lead to success or happiness. Not true happiness, not everlasting happiness. They both lead to failure. We all know all those people full of pride that are lonelier than lonely. I have to hire people to hang out with them. God helps us to become who we need to be if we just submit. And I have to say right now, my prayer all day as I've been interceding on behalf of my nation that I was born into, God help us to become teachable again. Humble us with whichever way you need to. Wake us, stir us, posture us to grow and to learn how we can be better at what we do, not only in our businesses, not only in our jobs, not only to be more skilled and diligent in producing excellence, but help us to learn to be better spouses. God, stir us. That we would want to succeed as spouses. That I would want to be a better wife and that my husband would want to be a better husband and that we're not just hoping for it, but that we're picking up books and learning from other people who have succeeded in it. That we're actually asking questions to learn how to produce excellence in our marriages. Teach us, God, how to work with each other on the same team instead of against each other or just inept towards each other. Let us want to learn to have better skills in being a marriage partner. Let us learn. Let us be a people that learn the skills we need to equip our kids, whether they are your own children or children you have access to. And we would equip kids with success skills, with success mindsets, with success habits from the very foundation of who they are. Could you imagine if you were equipped to succeed, how easy it would be for you today? Could you imagine that if it was just in your blood? Could you imagine if it just came natural to you? Could you imagine if that's just all that you knew and the way you were trained? You can't even fathom it. Why? Because it's foreign. Because most of us have had nothing but curses passed down to us. Most of us have had nothing but poverty passed down to us. Most of us have only had apathetic mindsets, laziness. Most of us have had selfishness passed down to us. We live in a very selfish culture today. I pray, give us the desire to equip the kids that are on this planet today so they can soar stronger than we ever thought we could. That is what this country was founded on. Our impact on others, how we lead others, how we pull the best out of others, whether it be the best out in our churches and our communities, where we volunteer, where we work, in our neighborhood. Let us be a people that puts others first and cares about impacting everyone around us. And if we lack the understanding, the knowledge, the skill to do that, then by golly, by faith, start walking towards those who can help you do it. We need a remnant, that 2%, that has a desire to have success in all areas of life, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, and financially. A remnant that will not sacrifice their families for riches and will have extreme wealth because of what they stand for and what they work for. We need a remnant, a new breed of people that will learn and grow and be postured, humbled, so they can be taught how to be great leaders in business, great skilled spouses, and phenomenal equippers of the next generation of kids that walk on this planet today. I believe that remnant is you. I believe that remnant is you. I believe that there's something in you that was in the founding forefathers. I believe that you're as sick to your stomach as I am about the facts that in this nation, we pour more money into ourselves on how to puff ourselves up with more stuff than we do in learning how to groom our kids so that they can succeed far greater than we ever fathomed. Isn't it sick that we spend more money and time with the media than we do at sowing seeds in those in our communities, our churches, our jobs, our businesses, and our children, and our spouses? We spend more money and time doing things that are futile than things that actually produce good fruit. I believe that you have a desire not only to succeed yourself, but I hope that you are that remnant that desires for others to succeed far greater than you have. That is true success. And not only when you can reach it, but that you can equip others to do it. Let me ask you something. If you learned how to get out there and do some great things, but your children suffered and failed, would it be worth it? No. No way. Folks, we don't have complete control over them, but I'm telling you, we do have influence, no question. First Steps to Success will equip you tremendously. How you will succeed, and also how you'll pass that down to the next generation. But the grooming, the Next Generation for Success teleseminar on the 20th and 27th of July, that is a way. Listen, you may think you have it all figured out, and you may, and that might be okay. I know I don't. I know I'm always postured to learning and to growing and hearing what's my next step to do with these great five kids that have been placed into my care. All I know is that we can't stop growing, we can't stop learning. You have two venues. You have a chance, a door that is open to you. I encourage you that if you are that remnant who has that burning desire in you, that you do not want to forsake our founding forefathers. More importantly, you don't want to forsake your God. That you want to answer this call, this burning, this desire that says, I have to succeed, and I've got to change things that are around me. I've got to impact others to succeed. Then please, get yourself equipped so you know how to help others succeed. First Steps to Success has helped thousands to succeed. This teleseminar will equip thousands to succeed. The question is will you be one of the thousands? So I'm going to be the first to wish you happy Independence Day, happy Day of Freedom. I beg you, I commission you to walk in that freedom. Don't walk by your excuses. Don't walk by sight. Don't bow down to apathy and mediocrity, but rise up, my brothers and sisters of the same nation, as well as our cousins and neighboring nations. I ask you to rise up and be what is in your bloodline to be, risk takers and history makers. Be that one that will step out, even though it doesn't make sense, to step out, even though it doesn't look like it's going to work, to step out, even though there's a chance of failure. That's what our founding forefathers did. They stepped out even though there was a chance of failure, the ultimate failure, the cost of their lives, their blood. He who steps out in faith and takes that risk is going to see success, no question. And I'll know who you are because I'll see you in Denver, Colorado. An apathetic person is looking at the dates of Denver, Colorado, saying, well, it doesn't quite work in my schedule. I have other things going on. It's not the right time. I'll wait till next time. You know what? All I have to say is you've let this apathetic culture get to your bones. If you're going to let your circumstances and everything in your life determine how you live and how fast you get ahead, it's never the circumstances that determine success. It is how we deal with those circumstances. Start living life by design. Please, not by default. It's in your bloodline. Return to your heritage. We are a risk-taking, history-making people. We are a people of a free nation, a free opportunity. Please use that freedom to grow. Don't use that freedom to do nothing. So happy Independence Day. I hope you guys have a great party tomorrow. And I hope that I have pierced your ears. I'll be seeing many of you in Denver, and I'll be hearing many of you on that teleseminar. Go right now to DaniJohnson.com, DaniJohnson.com. Get yourself registered for First Steps to Success, or go to AmazingTeleseminars.com. Again, that is AmazingTeleseminars.com. That's where you'll find Grooming the Next Generation for Success. God bless you. I wish you well. I'm going to open up the lines, and everybody say good night and God bless.